Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Frontier Beyond Fear radio program. I am your host, Susan Laris and Danz, and I welcome you this evening for what I hope will be a relaxed and enjoyable time of a combination time this evening where we're going to be talking with Master Healer Joy Ray Freeman, who is also known as the Cosmic Cupid. She has a very diverse, interesting background where she's able to assist people energetically with healing, as well as bring in some of her other experience intuitively to assist people with romantic advice. And so the format tonight, so that those calling in already understand, is during the first part of the show, I'm going to be talking with Joy Ray about her background and about her what she does as a divine light energy healer. And then we will be bringing some callers on during the first hour who are seeking to experience what will really be a glimpse, a mini session of energetic long-distance healing, keeping in mind that when there are no barriers of space, there is no distance. And so this is something that is very much possible. Then in the second hour, Joy Ray and I are going to shift completely to a lighter portion of the show where she will bring forth her intuitive background as a cosmic cupid and assist people with their romantic questions about your romantic life. And so just a little bit more about Joy Ray. Joy Ray describes herself as a spiritual warrior. She is indeed a divine light master healer. She is a writer. She is a radio producer. She leads many different types of retreats and workshops as a facilitator. She's also a business consultant, and a very interesting part of her past is that she was a matchmaker in Beverly Hills, and she now takes that to a higher level. She is an ordained minister. She's trained in several healing modalities, and that includes divine light, which we'll have her explain when she comes on. She's a certified hypnotherapist. She's a certified NLP practitioner. She's a Qigong master and instructor. She's a laser Reiki master 7. She's a general Reiki master and instructor. She knows advanced quantum touch. She has advised people in nonviolent communications and peacemaking, which is a topic which keeps coming up on this show. She also did a great deal with a project called Project Earth, where it was a channeled work that she assisted with bringing forth, and we'll be talking to her a little bit about that as well. Joy Ray had her own radio show called Joy to the World, which has won International Communicator Awards twice, and she is currently relaunching that for podcasting, which I encourage her to do. And without too much further delay, I'm going to go ahead and hand out the call-in number to everyone, and I see that some callers are already coming in. Now, keep in mind, if you're in the queue, we're going to start out with just an introductory conversation, and then the first part will be for those who are seeking healing, and then the second hour will be for people looking for romantic advice. So do be aware of that if you're calling in. We do have an open chat room this evening, And we welcome questions and comments in the chat room as well. And I do want to remind people that if you want to comment in the chat room, you need to have a Blog Talk Radio login, although guests are most welcome. And it's quite easy to get a Blog Talk Radio login if you need to get one. So without any more further delay, I'm going to go ahead and bring Joy Ray on the program. And I'd like
Hello
to
there.
Welcome you, Joy Ray, to the Frontier
well,
Beyond
you.
Fear.
Thank you so much.
You have so many different things in your background. I couldn't even begin to touch upon it in what really was quite a lengthy intro. And so I must say that I'm truly honored to have someone on the show that has experienced so many different things that I know that you can share with my listeners tonight. And so I'd like to give you an opportunity to expand on that a little bit and tell us, you know, how you came to this work, perhaps. How I know you have a rather diverse spiritual background as well, which I noticed and didn't talk about, and I'm curious as to how you came to do what you do.
Okay. Well, that is actually an excellent question because all of it has a bit of a tapestry effect of things that linked to other things. And I'm what I call a late bloomer, which I don't feel is a derogatory term at all. But I was a fairly average, you know, normal person. And, you know, I had married young. I had my children. I was little Susie Homemaker and Mommy and dutiful wife and all of those things. And I had a career. And I have been in human resources. I helped create, as one of the development team members, the first uniform personnel system in the state of Montana.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got out of that because of the politics and was a headhunter and an oil and gas broker, which was interesting. And
yes.
then I moved to California. I had been a native Montanan. I still am a native Montanan, but I had lived here most of my life, and then I moved to California. And while I was down in California, I was involved with mortgages, and I had my own construction marketing company. And at one point, I was a matchmaker in Beverly Hills, and that was partly, I believe, synchronistic with the writings that I had begun on a book about cosmic compatibility. And my premise for that book is I had noticed that most people spend more time and know more what they're doing when they shop for a pair of shoes than when they pick
mm-hmm.
a mate. So that is kind of earlier than the Project Earth book, which came about while I was living in Marina Del Rey, and a friend of mine who I'd met here in Helena, Montana, had moved down there, and she had a roommate. And the roommate had a deceased grandfather, and my friend was a medium and had been psychic all her life. So she was facilitating a connection between the deceased grandfather and her roommate. And the roommate has a guide whose name is Adrian, who also was part of, she was the other side connection.
Mm-hmm.
And when they finished with that, that connection for the grandfather and Karen is the roommate's name, then the guide said, you need to call Clarette, which is my legal name, because we have a message for all three of you. And
yeah.
So I didn't have a cell phone at that time. This was back in the 80s, and so I had a beeper. And so my beeper went off, and so I called Eileen, and I thought it might be a family emergency because my family had her phone number. But it was her requesting me to come over and spend some time with her and Karen and to receive a message. So we got the message, and it was an assignment to create a book, which was channeled through Eileen. And Karen was the secretary for the project. She had a dictaphone, and then she later transcribed it by listening to it and typing it. And we did, over a period of 2 years, we met every week for 2 hours. And the book, we titled it. I came up with the title, most of the subheadings, did the technical editing, came up with the book cover. But no publishers were taking channel materials at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So we found someone that called themselves a publisher, but basically they just let us pay them to print it. And so we had all those copies, and I have been selling them at trade shows and talking about the book for a long time, and I believe that it just wasn't quite time. But it is intended for the masses, for the general population who just is beginning to realize that there's more to the picture than what they've been told, and that they don't need to be in the box at all with their beliefs and their understanding of how the universe works, and that everything is a lot bigger and more magical than what they think.
Yeah.
So it was my primer. It was my first awareness. I knew there was more. I was never really a closed-minded person, and I have probably never been really in the box, but I didn't understand how it worked or where to start. Although I had seen my friend Eileen bend a spoon with her mind.
Yes, wow.
You know, and she was a water dowser, and so she explained, and I learned how to use the pendulum, you know, with a crystal on the chain. Mm-hmm. And so a little bit of that I had experienced. But this was really a big world for me, and it opened up so much to me as far as my understanding of how life and how electromagnetics works and how the power of love and how the human form is connected to all that is. And so that was probably the first part of my spiritual awakening and my higher consciousness, you know, being. Then it was after that I had some very unique energetic experiences. And in 1991, I was invited to take a class on Qigong. And I've always been very health conscious, but that fascinated me. So I took the class, and it was a powerful experience. The Qigong, there are thousands of patterns, and it's a very ancient healing art. But the Qigong I took is medical Qigong, which works on the five major organs. And so we practiced in the park in Santa Monica, and I just continued that, and I was very dedicated to using my Qigong every day, and it changed my metabolism. And it was just exciting to feel the energy come to me when I knew that I had it. And the chi, which is part of our life force, it is our life force, raised. My chi level raised up, and my vibration went higher and higher, and it made me healthier. And he told me, the Reiki master, or the Qigong master who gave us this class, he was a gentleman about 61, and he was very tall and very willowy, very flexible and lithe, and he had a great sense of humor. He was just delightful, and he noticed how dedicated I was with learning the parts of it and how precise I was doing the steps. And he said, "You're the one that's going to take this and go with it and keep it going." And then he and I were going to actually write a book because he didn't have perfect English. And I had already taken a video and television production internship. So we were going to write a book and do a video together. But then I lost track of him after the 1994 earthquakes. So fast forward to 1996, and I was back in Montana, and I was in Kalispell living, and I did quite a bit of travel with a publishing company, and I was involved with advertising. But I had gone to what they called the Forum. And in a community like Kalispell, which isn't a huge population, but they have the Flathead Valley, which is the greater community, which includes, you know, four or five other towns that are near there within 20, 30 miles.
Yes.
There were quite a few what we called light workers. And there were two women who were very visionary, and they were holding weekly meetings in their home. And they would have a speaker who came and did some kind of a talk on holistic topics and metaphysical topics. One lady gave a demonstration of how rebirthing works, which is breath work. Someone taught a little bit about numerology and tarot. Someone gave a talk on astrology. I did a demonstration of how shamanic journeying works. And then there was a gal who came and was scheduled to do a talk on angelic connection. And her purpose was to help people connect with their own angels because our angels are always here for us, but they will not interfere. So we have to ask them, and we have to know how to ask them. So she gave us a little bit of a technique and took us into a meditation. And since it was a large room, she suggested that it was a very long meditation, so why didn't we just lie on the carpet so we'd be more comfortable, which we did. And I've never really been a more naturally relaxed person. I'm kind of more.
No, I can relate to that. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not something that I would naturally do all the time, but I, laid on the carpet and I put my hands in the carpet, and actually my hands were planted in it, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
There's this resting on it.
Yeah.
And so, about 20 seconds into the meditation, my hands lifted out of the carpet, and they started scanning my body. They traveled along my torso, and they just kept moving. And that had never happened to me before, but I just allowed it. And then at one time, the backs of my hands were up next to my head. And then toward the middle, the elbows were on the carpet, and each hand held a huge golden egg. I mean, these were huge, like bigger than an ostrich egg. And they shined like metal. They radiated light. And they felt charged with electricity, almost like when you get your finger in a light socket. But it didn't hurt, and it didn't alarm me, and I just allowed it.
Can I ask you a question before you go on there? You say that it didn't alarm you, which is important. You know, I think that I'm finding that there is somewhat of a challenge sometimes in that when we're exposed to new things, certainly part of my path has always been I don't always immediately integrate something new like that. And I know there are probably people like that out there, that when something really supernatural occurs, and if it's something that you haven't experienced before, how can people respond to that in an open and accepting way without becoming alarmed? What do you recommend for people occurs?
I wish I had that answer, because I didn't find myself consciously saying, just be calm, don't get upset, don't get too excited. I just seemed to be able to just allow it and just accept it, even though it was totally almost bizarre, compared to anything else that I had ever experienced. But I wish I could give more guidance on that, but I do think that perhaps discussing this might help people to realize, and that's part of why I like telling my story, is that I believe people can expect magic and be outside of the box, so that when something comes to them, it doesn't have to come through the walls of the box in their thinking, and they don't have to struggle to accept it. And so I'm hoping that my story helps bridge that for people, and I think it will, because it's so out of the blue for me. I had never expected anything like this. And actually, when we went into the meditation, the little instruction that she gave us was that we were supposed to be as specific as possible, but not so specific that we limited the options and, had size and time frame and everything so defined that we were restricting the outcome. And, I was a very happy person. I've always been a fairly happy person, and I didn't have any, lack or voids or gaps in my life. I knew I was here to make a difference. I knew I was a communicator and a writer, and that I am a teacher and a visionary thinker, and would probably be involved in media in some way. Didn't exactly have the parts of it yet. And I was content with that, and I was just excited to be part of something that was making a difference and creating a better world. So when I went into it, I said, bring me what I'm ready for next.
Yes.
And wham. And so even though it didn't alarm me and it was exciting, when we finished the meditation and she brought us back in the room, I just thought it was a cool meditation. And I think I told my sister about it, but I didn't really chatter a lot about it or anything. I just thought it was something cool. So I put my jacket on and went home. Mm-hmm. And from then on, though, since it was so pleasurable and so unique and kind of exciting and a new experience for me, at the end of each day, I would use that as part of my relaxation technique toward the end of the day, because I'm a very active person, and I go, and I'm a type A, and so when I wind down, I thought it was nice to not just get my pajamas on and go to bed, but just to do some little ritual for myself.
Yeah.
And so I would call the energy to me, and the scan, my hands would give me a scan. And then I discovered that if I was in, I love taking a hot bath at night. And so when I was in the tub, my knees would go back and forth and knock water out of the tub. And if I had my hands down next to my body and I called the energy, they would get out of the water. They would lift up out of the water. And sometimes one of my arms would be up like a lasso above my head in the shower stall. And I discovered also that I could get a yes or no answer.
Uh-huh.
And the right hand coming out of the water was yes, and the left hand was no. And I just kind of played with it and just enjoyed it. And I was fairly dedicated to doing it pretty much every night. And I was traveling a lot, but I still managed to work that into the schedule. And then I had moved over to Spokane. I was there temporarily, but I was working on some other projects for a couple of other publishers. And I had gotten a little bit away from it because we had pretty long hours. And my teammate and I would, a lot of times, because of the networking that was required within the community that was a new community to us, we would be out and busy right up until after dinner at night. So sometimes I was forgetting it. And then I met a friend through a mutual friend, and he happened to be a healer. And I told him my story about how the activation happened, and which I didn't know was an activation at that time, but how that cool meditation had come to me. And he said, I'm going to give you some sage and some sea salt. He says, and I'm just thinking that this would be good for you to keep doing and to get back into, because he could tell that my day job was kind of stressful. And so I smudged the apartment, and I took a nice hot sea salt, and I started doing that on a regular basis. And then one time when he came over to visit, I demonstrated to him how when I called the energy, it would scan my body and how I could do a yes and no answer.
Yeah.
So he's a healer who has the gift of being able to see inside of his client's body. And he had a woman client who was maybe early 60s, and he has a special technique that he uses, which I also know. But she had a size of a walnut growth on her cervix.
Uh-huh.
And he got it down to the size of a sugar cube by going through this process where he had her confirm or release certain things. And it wasn't the fact that her husband had died 10 years earlier, because she had dealt with that and she was okay with that. And it wasn't any financial stress, because she was very stable and comfortable in that area.
Yeah.
But there was something there that he could not help her release fully, and it couldn't get it smaller than a sugar cube size. So he came to me and he says, you told me about this yes and no answers that you can get through your energetic connection. He says, I wonder if you could help me with this client. So he told me what I just said about her, and I tried that one evening, and I just kept getting an answer that was either yes or no. And I boiled it down to the fact that she was betrayed by a family member about material goods.
Huh.
So I told him that, and he went back to her, and they did another session, and she totally released, and the growth went away.
Uh-huh.
And what happened with her is that her sister, when their parent, father, I think it was, the last parent died, took paintings and other valuables and just took them without regard to this gal. I can't remember her first name. And that's what the issue was. And so a root cause like that stays in the person's framework, soul level, emotional, mental, or physical, it manifests many times into something that is an imbalance, a blockage, and becomes something more serious at some point because it's not normal and there's no flow around it. And he said he saw her after he did that one treatment, and she had a spring in her step. Her face was all bright and smiling, and she looked years younger and had a new lease on life. And so that was, you know, still to me, what I did was like a cool meditation, and it was very cool and very fun. But
yeah.
I didn't realize until later that year, between Christmas and New Year's in 1997, I took myself to dinner, and it was a Spokane restaurant. It's called Mizuna, and they mm-hmm. have fabulous. They're not totally vegetarian, but they have a lot of vegetarian food on their menu. And I had ordered myself some squash soup, I believe it was, and there were four people at a table behind me, and one of the women at the table had a cough that sounded like it was ripping her chest apart. And she couldn't talk, and she couldn't eat, and she kept going up to the bathroom, which she had to go around behind me and over in front of me because the restroom was over to the right in the corner. And it was back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. And one time when she came back, I knew what to do, even though I didn't hear words and I'd never done it before in my life, and I put my elbows on the table and my chin on my hands. And immediately in my screen, even though my eyes are closed, you get a screen in mm-hmm. your third eye.
Mm-hmm.
And there were three circles that looked like the snowman figures, where one is small, one's medium, and one's large. And around the edges of the circles were 4th of July sparklers. And they were crackling with electricity. And I felt her get calm, and I heard her get quiet, and then I felt us combining into that. And it lasted and lasted. And I was in a zone, and I don't know what was going on at the table, but it got really quiet, I am confident. And the people at the table must have just allowed her to have that space because they noticed that she was different and she was no longer coughing. And then the snowman disappeared, and there was a great big brick. It looked like a gold brick, like a bouillon bar. And it shined like metal and radiated light, and it was so magnetic that it almost pulled me out of my chair.
Mm-hmm.
And it got higher and bigger, and like the crescendo of an orchestra, and stronger and more. And then it subsided, and I opened my eyes, and there was my soup. And she was talking and laughing and eating. And I stayed for 45 more minutes, and there was only one tickle cough that whole time. So that's when I knew that it was more than a meditation, and that the energetic feelings that I had were a powerful healing gift. And so after that, every time, including myself, I had an earache shortly after that because I was moving from one office to a different one, and I was in the rain, and it was cold, and I had an earache, and I knew that I could take care of it. I just knew. So I put my hand up over my ear, and I called the energy to me, and the earache went away immediately, just like that. And then every time anyone had something, I would just offer to help. And so I just kept practicing. And they were kind of like guinea pigs, but it was just this new way of helping people that I had discovered, and it worked. So then I didn't know quite what it was. I was grateful for it, and I knew that it was special, but I gave it a name, and I call it Divine Light because I didn't know what else to call it. And I hadn't even studied Reiki yet. But I knew if I wanted to be, you know, doing this kind of work, that I felt like I needed some kind of certification, you know, some credentials. And so I studied Reiki, and I learned how to teach Reiki and laser Reiki, you know, up to the 7 level, a master, quantum touch, advanced, and NLP and hypnotherapy. And so I have lots of credentials, but the thing I use most is my Divine Light. And that credential came from a source that doesn't matter about paper.
That's so often true, it seems.
Yeah, it's a higher type of certification. So,
yes.
So I decided, okay, if I'm going to do this, I want to find out what are the possibilities. And so I kept asking for volunteers, like the little espresso shack that was near me when I lived in Lake Forest Park in Seattle, which was later on. I told them about what I do, and this one gal who owned the little espresso shack, she said, well, I have this knee injury. She says, I've always been very athletic, but it's swollen. And she says, I put on some weight, and she says, I can't be as active as I'd like to be. So she came over, and I worked on it a couple times, maybe for 10 minutes each. And she was kickboxing and jump roping and everything after that. And so, you know, I just kept getting new examples of what can be done with the energy. So it works on structure like bone and ligaments and sprained muscles, and it also works emotionally and mentally and spiritually. So
yeah.
I just kept going with it, and it's just been years, since probably about the year 2000, and I've been doing work with this. And then I decided, you know what, I want to teach this, and I knew I couldn't duplicate my own path. So I knew also that the Qigong was a huge part of how this happened for me, because by raising up my qi, by practicing the Qigong, qi is life energy, and mm-hmm. that's how the healing energy found me and came and zapped me, basically. It just recognized me because my vibration was up right there,
yeah.
so it could see me. I mean, that's what I believe. And so I decided to combine Qigong and Reiki into what I call Reiki Kong, and I invented the term. It's my own trademarked term.
Uh-huh.
And so I teach workshops called Reiki Kong, and I teach them Qigong, and then I give them the Reiki attunements. And in 2 days, they are walking out of the workshop as very powerful healers. I just finished one today, a two-day workshop. And it's exciting. I see
yeah.
some of the breakthroughs and the amazing, like one gal yesterday, she had finished the attunements and she was working on herself because that's part of the exercise that you do in the class. And she had back problems, and she's, gosh, only in her late 30s maybe. She had back problems, and so she was working on herself. She said, she came up to me after they finished their session, and she said, my gosh, she said, I was working on my back, and the pain went away immediately. And she said, I saw balls of light in my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And she was so excited and kind of blown away because this was all new to her. And so it's such a joyful thing to be doing. I really enjoy that. And I also enjoy the individual treatments that I still do. So that's kind of the story of how the healing gift came to me and part of how it works. And then we did a little tiny session for you the other day when we were chatting.
Yeah,
so
I was going to mention that. Yes, that. And in fact, that's a nice segue into launching into talking to quite a few callers who are queuing up. And I do want to say a word to all the callers. Thank you so much for patiently waiting out there. And I'm hoping that you're really getting a feel for just what Joy Ray has to offer when we finally bring some callers on the line, which will be soon, because you do have a fascinating story, Joy Ray. And I find it interesting how, isn't it true on the path that we get exactly the affirmations we need to keep going deeper into whatever that thing is that is meant to resonate with us, that we truly are called to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I see in your story when you talk about
Absolutely.
Your journey and the divine light. Every healing, the success of each one and what you were feeling led to just more. And I can tell that you're someone who's really working in a space of joy, which is
oh,
so important.
Yeah, it is the delight. You know, I have other aspects of the work I do, but all of it is intended for empowerment and for helping to create a better world. And I believe in teaching people to fish and creating more healers, and so I'm out there like Johnny Appleseed.
Yeah, and that's very admirable to be doing that, and that, you know, that's because I think, you know, so often we can't touch each person ourselves, but we can touch other people who then touch other people. And then,
exactly.
You know, and it just radiates outward. And, you know,
that's
there is
one of the biggest... Yeah.
Yeah. You can just see how it radiates. And, you know, we come in contact with such a diversity of people on our path. And I know that listening to this show, people come from many diverse paths. And they come in here with an open mind looking for new things. And some people are experienced with these things and they're taking it to a greater depth. Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe this is something completely new, a different type of modality they may not be aware of. But back to your question regarding my own experience, that happened rather spontaneously when we were doing the pre-show discussion. We were just getting to know each other better. And I happened to have really bad allergies that day, which, by the way, have not been as bad ever since. yeah, fancy that. They were really bad. I mean, I was starting to even wheeze a little on the phone and, you know, cough more. And, you know, we just stopped. We basically interrupted the conversation because I mentioned it. I thought, you know, here I knew it was impacting me. And I wasn't necessarily asking right away for healing, but you volunteered that. Mm-hmm. And I very much welcomed that. And we just worked together for a short time. And that's what you're going to be doing here in a few minutes with people who are talking with you. Mm-hmm. And you did a breathing exercise with me. That was something I could enter into very quickly. And it really did help. And I have to tell you, not only that came to me at a time, this has been a pretty intense week for me, I guess I would have to say. It's one mm-hmm. of those weeks where I'm being challenged to take it much deeper, the work that I'm doing. And, you know, I really relate to your story because I feel I'm at one of those points similar to some of the points in your story where you really felt called. And it's not that I'm going to change everything I'm doing. I mean, I know that some things will remain the same, but probably some things I'm doing will fall away that are not mm-hmm. really resonating with what I feel called to do. And I'm only beginning to feel that. And so anyway, this time that we had together came at a very good time because sometimes when we're being called to something and we don't quite understand it, that can be a little tumultuous too. Mm-hmm. There can be a bit of a transition, and that calming energy was helpful. And, you know, good. I feel a sense of calm tonight. My voice is much calmer.
Yeah, and it does stay with you. That's just amazing to me. You know, it's not just while we're doing the treatment, but it stays. I do want to mention that I'm doing a Reiki Kong class in Spokane the end of June. Mm-hmm. And also I'm going to probably do one the middle of June in Portland.
Oh, well, that's good to know because we have quite a few listeners in the Portland area.
Mm-hmm.
And so post that. Yeah, go ahead.
On all of my websites, and the mothership for all my websites is joy2u.org, and there's a little form that you can fill out with just to get on my email list, and reikigong.net
mm-hmm.
is the Reiki Kong website, and you can register there or sign up there for the newsletter as well. So I just want to mention that because this is such empowering work, and it changes people's lives, basically.
Yeah.
Because when
mm-hmm.
you when you don't have your health, you have nothing, really.
Yeah.
No matter how big your dreams are, they become a nightmare if you don't have the health to carry them through.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly challenges us when we're not at our best, that's for sure. Even if it's something that's just troubling us and it's not, you know, a life-threatening situation, no matter what it is,
mm-hmm.
it can certainly impact the our ability to take joy in our passion, whatever it is.
Right.
So I agree with that.
The byline that I use for for the healing teaching that I do is a healer in every family, and it's not just a catchy phrase. It's my philosophy. I believe our society, in order to remain stable or to become more stable with all of the chaos and all of the environmental poisons that are being, you know, thrown at us and all of the stress and all of the improper eating and all of the things that people are experiencing and their bodies being affected by it, I believe we need a healer in every family because when you catch something while it's small, whether it be stress or an allergy or whatever the imbalance may be, when you catch it when it's small, it never becomes a serious matter where it's a major disease or requires surgery or heaven forbid, gets you on pharmaceuticals. So that is a serious, serious philosophy that I have for us to take back our power as a humanity to be healthy beings that are sovereign within ourselves.
Yeah. Well, with that said, I think that we should go ahead and bring on some callers who have been patiently waiting.
Okay.
And I'm going to advise the callers again, the first part of this show, and I'm going to just bring you on, and if you're seeking the second part where we're going to be talking about romance advice, I'll just keep you on the line, and you can tell me that, caller, when I bring you on the line, if that's something you're seeking. Since I just bring people on, I don't have a moderator bringing people on. And so we'll go ahead and start bringing people on. And what I'll let you, with the first caller, Joy Ray, set the tone for how you're going to handle each caller that's
okay.
coming on for healing. And I advise the other callers to kind of listen to the first one as an example as to what to expect. This will
okay.
be a short time with Joy Ray. That's one thing I will say to the callers.
It's
and
a sample.
It is a sample. And, you know, I may play a little soft music in the background. We're going to, this is the first time we've had a healer on the show like this. So we're just going to kind of flow with it and see how it works. We'll just go ahead and bring someone on. And the first caller who's been waiting very patiently that I'm going to be bringing on is at area code 512. So if you're at area code 512 and you've been waiting for a while, I'm about to bring you on the line.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Are you at area? Hello. What is your name, your first name?
My name is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
I'm going to just ask you what kind of issue or solution you're seeking.
I guess kind of two things. My overall health is I'm just tired with not much energy. And the other thing is my memory isn't just what it should be.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, we're going to try to keep this moving. And a lot of times when I'm working with someone, I don't do a lot of talking. I am doing self-talk where my intention and my affirmations for you are being done while I'm holding what I call a stand-in, which is a little stuffed black bear, and I'm going to pretend that this little bear is Nancy, okay? And so I'm going to ask you right now to take some really big breaths and close your eyes. Really big breaths, and you're going to become more relaxed with every breath. And you're going to allow and surrender to the healing energy that is being directed to you. We're filling you with vitality and balance, helping you release the fatigue, the cloudiness, bringing you more clarity. Bringing you more awareness about your biochemistry and your diet, which can be part of the solution. Filling you now with healing energy from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, affecting all of your organs and glands, your nervous system, your circulation. And filling you now with peace, love, and joy. And please feel free to enter the chat room and express what you experienced. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Nancy, for coming in.
Thanks.
Okay. The next caller is at area code 561. So if you're at that area code, I'm about to bring you on the show. Hello. Are you at area code 561? Oops, looks like I brought the wrong one on. Let's do another one.
Another romance. Hello.
Hello. Sorry, we didn't quite get you on the line. So are you calling for romance advice then? Did I catch
mm-hmm.
that? Okay, I'll keep you on the line, and you'll be the first up for when she shifts into that. So
okay.
thanks for calling in. Okay. Well, it seems that was interesting intuitively. I actually might have brought the right caller on and didn't even realize it. I had actually skipped her without even knowing it. That's fascinating. Okay. If you're at area code 780, I'm bringing you on the show now. Hello. You're on the Frontier Beyond Fear.
Hello, Susan. Hello, Joey.
Hi. How are
Hi.
You?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
Good. What's your name?
Good.
My name is Jay.
Jay. And what is the either physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual issue where I can help?
Want
a gentle tune-up?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, then let's get to it since we're on a limited time and this is a sample. So I need you to take a really, really big breath and keep those big breaths coming. This is bigger than you normally do just to stay alive, okay? Really big ones.
Okay.
And your only job is to surrender and receive and feel the blessing of the divine light, healing energy that is coming through for you. Big breaths and more relaxed with every breath. Your entire body, muscles, skeleton, tissue, skin, connective tissue, arteries, major organs, hair and nails, every cell in your body is now being sent healing energy. Setting your cells alive and regenerating on a higher level, giving you balance and peace, removing blockages. Bringing you vitality, clarity. Lifting you up for a better alignment. Releasing trauma, anxiety. Filling you now with peace, love, and joy. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay, for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joy Ray. I sense that we're all vicariously experiencing this as you work with each person. So
I believe so.
I'm just going to let the energy of your work basically carry through for each one.
Right, and that's a good point. I encourage everyone to listen as little as I do speak. You can plug in and do the deep breathing and be receptive. Let your conscious mind get out of the way. Don't do any grocery shopping lists or anything that is thinking or keeping you from being a total recipient and surrendering to what is being sent, which is love and light.
Yes, and, you know, originally I was going to play a little music behind you, but with that last caller, I just felt that there was power in the silence. And sometimes that's what we need to hear, honestly.
It's nothing.
It's really true. And so it just felt right. I didn't want to interrupt the energy by doing that. So there will be, I'm just telling people who are listening, there will be some silence on this show. And I ask that you make the most of that time when there is some silence. So anyway, thank you, Jay. And we're going to go to the next caller who is at area code 773. So I'm about to bring you on the show here. Hello, are you at area code 773?
I am.
And what is your first name?
Mary Lee.
Mary Lee,
Hi, Mary
are you
Lee.
Also in the chat?
I am.
Welcome, Mary Lee, and thank you for that affirmation. Mary Lee had something nice to say in the chat a few minutes ago. Thank you.
Oh, good. So, Mary Lee, how can I assist?
Well, I would like some healing, especially in my right jaw.
Okay. All right.
And extreme fatigue.
Okay. All right. Let's go into that deep breathing. Allow yourself to be totally receptive, totally relaxed. Allow yourself to surrender to the healing energy that is being sent to your right jaw and to your energetic system. Big breaths, deeper breaths, and more relaxed with every breath. Feel yourself being filled with electromagnetic energy that goes from the bottom of your feet, up through your legs, into your hips, through your torso, into your chest, out through your arms, up through your neck, in your jaw, filling your entire head, and particularly in the jaw. The energy is filling you now. You are full of light. Filling you now with peace, love, and joy, releasing the pain, releasing the fatigue, bringing up the vitality, mental clarity, and the balance. Thank you, Mary Lee.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Lee, for coming on. Our next caller is from area code 952. Okay, so if you're at that area code, I'm about to bring you on the show. Hello. If you're at area code 952, you're on the air. Are you there?
Hi, this is Sandy.
Hi, Sandy.
I have a really bad cough and a cold and a sore throat, and I'm wondering if you can send some healing into my lungs.
Yes, I will. And I encourage you to make some comments in the chat room, and perhaps something can forward to me, and I'll send you also a couple of remedies that will be helpful.
Okay.
But for now, we're going to send the healing light energy, and your only job is to take some really big breaths and close your eyes. Be in a comfortable position so that you don't have to worry about whether you're being supported. Big breaths. Great big breaths. And now, relax more with every breath. You're going to start feeling a warm energy in your chest, a very warm energy in your chest. Your lungs are going to start feeling more clear. Keep breathing. Receive. Don't think. Allow. Warm energy in your throat. Up through your sinuses, sending golden white healing light from the tip of your head to the bottom of your feet. And all of it is swirling in your chest area and your throat, creating a cleansing circle. Removing the blockages. Filling you now with peace, love, and joy. Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you.
Okay.
For the few remaining minutes that we have, I'd like to remind the callers or anyone who's listening that it's really important to get out of your head and just go sort of blank, let yourself be in a zone. I know it's hard for some people because it's new, but that allows you to receive more.
And, you know, something else I wanted to say to people listening, since we will be shifting in a little bit into the romance advice part of this show, if you do want to call in with that, now is probably a good time to start getting into the queue. And a word of advice to anyone who's considering calling in with that topic. So next, I am going to bring another caller on for healing. And that caller is at area code 908. Hello. What is your name?
Carol.
Welcome, Carol.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Joy.
How can I help?
Yes, my question is regarding spirituality. I'm out of love, and I've been doing many things to start channeling, and I don't know why I don't.
So you're wanting it to happen sooner?
Yes.
And let me ask you how much of your day you commit to it.
Okay, well, I wake up in the morning, and the first thing I do, I go quiet throughout the day, spread out my day also to go quiet. I'm very much in tune. I've been told to do that. Now, lately, I just, been going out to nature. Today, I went to the ocean. I felt like a lightness. You know, I just put my head in the sun, and it was... I feel different.
Mm-hmm.
I felt I lost 50 pounds.
Well, what I'm getting is that you are really close to it, but you're still thinking about it too much. So it's like you have to be in a nothingness zone in order for there to be room for something to come in. So you're doing a lot of things, and you're busy, and you're in your doing and thinking still instead of being. And so I just encourage you to take some time to just sit and meditate without an expectation. And right now, let's do some deep breaths, and I'm going to just do a simple little treatment on your crown chakra and on your third eye. All right? Take some big breaths, really big breaths, and relax. And allow. And what I'm hearing, Carol, is baby steps. So you're going to have some results, and when you least expect it, it's going to be baby steps for a little while.
Oh, it's just like my third eye. Can mm-hmm. I ask you, this is funny. I see my third eye, and maybe I don't know if it's just me, but it keeps on, like, swirling around. I don't know if it's...
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's putting energy on your third eye, your pituitary, your pineal, your third eye, and your crown chakra.
Oh. Okay. I felt it. Oh, thank
okay.
you.
Okay. You're
thank
welcome.
You.
Thank you, Carol.
You. Thank you. I'll fuck you. Bye.
Okay, we do have someone who's still asking for healing, even though we're at the hour. They I think they were a little concerned that we were going to switch format and
more.
Has been waiting.
Let's do one more.
And
okay.
This is at area code 225. And so I'm going to go ahead and bring this person on.
Okay.
Hello. If you're at area code 225, yes. You're on
Hello.
The air. Welcome.
Thank you for taking my call.
What's your name?
Sharon.
Karen. Okay. Hi, Karen. My name is Joy Ray. And, you can tell me what you've been experiencing and what you'd like some help with.
I worked on the ship for 20 years and was exposed to tuberculosis. I don't have it, but I went to have some blood work done recently, and the doctor said that it was stored in my spine. I didn't have it, but they didn't want... They just put me on some antibiotics, and I've been feeling really, really bad.
Okay. Well, let me address that part of it first, which is the major medical and the mainstream medical world. And I'm a bit of a maverick on this category. Do natural antibiotics instead. Try Golden Seal capsules as an example. And don't worry about overdosing. I would be using Golden Seal capsules, 4 of them at a time, 4 times a day, and drink lots of water at a minimum. Take sea salt baths. Keep your diet clear. No pasta, no potatoes, no rice, no bread. Okay? And start doing more exercise. And you can detox your body.
Okay?
You need to take your power back and don't even rely on them, because most of them don't know what they're doing and they don't care about your health. They're in it for the business of it.
Okay.
Your system can heal. You have to trust the natural remedies and allow them and do the right thing for yourself and not just go and ask for, you know, the medical help. Okay, let's take a couple of deep breaths and let me give you a little tune-up here. So, and my contact information is there. We can do some more work, but you need to unplug, basically, from the system. Okay? Big breath. Mm-hmm. Breathing in. Wholeness, clarity. Clearing the blood. Detoxing. Healing, restoring, rejuvenating, regenerating, repairing. Karen, filling you now with healing light, peace, love, and joy. And thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. All right. We still have, callers waiting, but we don't really know what they're
Which
seeking exactly.
They are.
So we're going to shift. Yeah, I guess we'll just, I'll let you go with the flow of them as they come in. But we will remind the audience that now we're going to shift gears as it's getting later in the evening, and especially if you're on the East Coast, and we're going to just shift into something different, and we're going to talk about romance. And you're going to share with us now to remind us how you got this interesting name, the Cosmic Cupid, Joy Ray.
Well, I actually gave myself that name. And the reason I use that name is because what I'm doing is not mainstream or pop psychology or clinical counseling. It is a progressive and more conscious approach to creating a better society through more conscious relationships. And it doesn't matter whether the persons are already matched up and they're in a relationship that is out of balance, or whether they want to elevate the level of their relationship, or whether people are single or kind of in between and they're not sure which way to go or how long to stay. And my whole theme for this, my whole core of the purpose of this, is to raise our society up beyond the dysfunction that is all around us, where people are in relationships that are compromised, that are not fulfilling, that are out of balance, that each person is really not getting what they're wanting or that they need, because there's a gap between the two people which has never been resolved. And a lot of this starts out because what we have on our list and what we're looking for is so small compared to what we really can benefit from in terms of a partnership. It can be fun, it can feel good, but it also has to make sense. And I have watched so many, hundreds and thousands of relationships that are started, you know, before I meet them, or they're just starting, or they're a disaster, and so I hear the whole story of how it happened. And it's really alarming, because it's not just about those two people not being fulfilled within a romantic partnership, because those people are siblings, a lot of them are parents, they're children of somebody, they're friends mm-hmm. of somebody, they are either workers or employers in some kind of environment, they are neighbors, they are pet owners, mm-hmm. they're community members. Mm-hmm. And so as that person is out of balance and having to deal with these dysfunctional issues or these disruptions in the harmony of their day because of relationships that are not working as well as they could, these people are then less than they could be for all of those roles that they play.
Yeah.
So to me, it's a very serious part of my work, because we can do better than that. And we're looking at third and fourth generation, and it's getting worse every generation. And one of the issues is that people get in a relationship for some of the wrong reasons. As an example, they are lonely, so they think mm-hmm. they need somebody. And having a companion is not really the solution. They need to love who they are and like spending time with themselves and be okay on their own. And, of course, have social activities. And, of course, have some things that they enjoy doing that is outside of just them. But it's too reliant. People are too dependent. And I'm not saying disconnect from having relationships, because I think we could get too isolated. I'm not saying that. I don't want mm-hmm. us to be robots. But I'm saying that people have that need, and so they fill it with another person. Well, then they get into the attraction factor. It can be the person's personality. It can be how dynamic they are, how talented they are, how intelligent they are, what they have that the other person doesn't have, some of the skills they have, like handyman skills, or men who like somebody who's a good cook and a good housekeeper. And my philosophy on that, and my favorite phrase on that, is don't marry it if you can hire it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it sounds kind of funny, but that, it's true.
That is true. The reason.
And I'm not talking about sex. I mean, you know, that's a whole other category. But you know, and the chemistry between boys and girls, it does happen. And I'm not limiting it, you know, I should say between people. Because to me, it doesn't matter whether it's same sex or, you know, heterosexual. It doesn't matter to me. That is not different to me. Love is love. Attraction is attraction. And we can go into a little bit of a discussion on that, which I will, because I think it's important to stand up for some things that I think are being mishandled by humans in our society about other humans. But when you get the chemistry going and you get the boy-girl stuff going or the girl-girl or the boy-boy, whatever it is, when you get that going, then the tail starts wagging the dog. And it's like glue. They don't want to get out of it because it feels so good and it's so fun. And so then they put up with things that they wouldn't normally. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not, you know, saying to be abstinent. You know, I'm saying use your head before you get your physical part going with someone else, because it can get very addictive and it can draw you in and keep you there longer than you should let it if you're being rational about your life. Just because it feels good doesn't mean that it can't make sense. And whether you're going through serial monogamies or whether you're wanting to have that 50-year anniversary with the same person, it doesn't matter to me what you want to do with that pattern that's part of your life. But I'm just saying, when you are entering a relationship, be more conscious about what you're getting into. And the formula that I like to use, and it's kind of my own that I created, it is self-awareness. So first of all, for Pete's sake, know who you are. Be aware of who you are. What makes you tick? What are your areas that you're working on? What would you like to aspire to? Are you going to stay the same now forever? You know, who you are forever? Or are you going to be drawn in certain directions where you want to experience new things? And some people are more eclectic than others. Some people outgrow the other one because they want new experiences, and the other one is going to sit there on that same couch smoking that same pipe for the next 40 years.
Yeah.
And so those are things that need to be discovered no matter how attractive you find the person. And most people are not courageous enough to reveal, number one, who they are, and they haven't done their homework to even know who they are. And then they also are reluctant to ask the question so that they can find out what the other person has as far as their preferences and their core, not just the things that you say to be polite, not just the things that you want the other person to hear so that they'll like you better, not just the things that you present about yourself so that you're not rejected, not the things that you hide that somebody else might not even find to be a problem, but you hide it because you think it might not be okay and you don't want to turn them away because of that part of you. That part of you, maybe you're the only one that's judging that. And besides, if it is part of who you are and it's in the past, then why worry about saying it? Because it's not part of you anymore, even though it was part of your experience. So, you know, the disclosure part, if something scares the person away that might be a little bit unique, like you have only four toes or you have a weird birthmark somewhere, you know, in a very private area, you know, those things don't have to come out maybe in the first conversation, but if it's going to be found out eventually, then you might as well know ahead of time. You know, and maybe telling them that and being clear about it helps you get past spending time with someone who's going to judge that. And maybe they won't judge it anyway. Maybe they have only three toes.
Right. Yeah, it seems like so often we make assumptions like that.
Our society programs us that way.
Yeah. It's
and
true.
We have, you know, we have the Billboard Beauty Queens, and we have the all the shows that stress, you know, the Barbie dolls, and we have all of the success icons who have a certain kind of job or have a certain kind of car or a certain kind of wardrobe. And so, you know, it's so superficial, and it's embarrassing for me on behalf of humanity that this is where we are with all of this. And so conversation and self-awareness and self-empowerment are huge with the way what I would approach, you know, creating better relationships through higher consciousness. And
yeah.
And it takes courage, you know. And some people don't do enough work on themselves before they start wanting another person. And I have a couple, I'm writing a book about it, and one of the topics is pyramid of sex, which I think is partly to get people interested because everybody likes to talk about sex or at least think about it or, you know. But it's more than sex. It's if you think about the shape of a pyramid and you think about the spiritual part of a person being at the tip.
Yeah.
Now, all of these are equal volumes. So even though the tip, you know, looks like it doesn't have as much in it, but maybe it's deeper. So then the next layer is wider and not as deep. So anyway, they all should have equal balance within the total structure. But within that, there's the spirit at the top, then there's the mental, then there's the emotional, then there's the physical. And that's kind of how our dimensions work. You know, the physical is at the bottom. It's the more primal part of who we are. And so the physical, as it relates to sex, includes the sensations, the feeling of touch, the stimulation, the hormones, and all of that. But some of the things, like emotions, are housed physically as well. So when you are physically healthy because you have the right kind of exercise and you're treating yourself well because of how you, you know, feed yourself and how you plan your meals and your diet, and how you think, when you're treating yourself well, your body's going to be much more able to be responding to touch, to be stimulated properly, to have, you know, all the orgasms you want, and to be strong and virile if you're a fellow, and to be alive, you know, in the sexual world. But you're also going to have the vitality to be active and to be balanced physically. And, of course, when your body's healthy, your nerve endings and your emotional self is healthier because everything is housed physically. We are in a 3D world. And then when all of your physical and your mental and your emotional is balanced and healthy, then you have a better connection with all that is or whatever your belief system is. You call it God, you call it Source, you know, you call it the Great Creator, you know, whatever your particular framework is. I don't like the little categories of religion, frankly. I put up my umbrella and took down the walls years ago. I can't stand
yeah.
that part of what our society does to each other. I think it's like fifth grade. And I believe we have to get past that if we want peace on earth and if we want to be a truly empowered and healthy and fulfilled society that has abundance and joy and peace and everything else. But when you talk about, you know, sexuality as an example, if you're not properly caring for your health, you're not going to have the optimum experience with your sex life.
Yeah,
so that's
that
why
makes
I call
sense.
The article, and that's why I call the article The Pyramid of Sex. But also, excuse me, if you have spiritual misalignment where maybe you have certain beliefs but yet you're not practicing it or you don't have the highest principles of it as part of your being, you're just saying the words and you're just plugging into the dogma of what the preacher or the rabbi or whoever, what they say, and you're not actually living it, then you're out of alignment within yourself. But when you also have a partner who has some misalignment within themselves, then you're compounding it because that is two wobbly wagons going down the road. And then if you are on different pages with your belief systems and your spirituality then out of those four dimensions, which are spirit, mind, heart, and body, you only have two out of four, three out of four at the most. And some people operate on only one out of four. Maybe they have their spiritual beliefs in alignment, but mentally they're different, emotionally they're different, and physically, even after a short while, sometimes the chemistry wears off because it doesn't sustain all by itself. And so all four parts have to have equal rights within the person, and they should be balanced within the person, and they should be whole within the person so that that person is okay as they are. And then when they find another one who's equally balanced and those four parts are in alignment, because you know how some people can talk and they understand each other and some can't? If you can't understand each other and you can't agree and you can't communicate, no matter how intelligent you are or how spiritual you are or how emotionally connected you feel or how physically attracted you are to each other, if you can't communicate and understand each other, the rest of it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, you know, there's that
relationship.
There's that mythology around opposites attract in our society.
That's a good point. And I don't agree with that. I don't believe that everybody has to be identical, because I think you can experience newness, you know, through somebody else's unique talents and all of that. But I think that people are different enough. Whether it's a boy and a girl that are different enough or two girls that are different enough, there's enough difference that when you have a large amount of synergy, which means you're more alike than you're different, then there's less work. And you can experience new things together in the same way, and it won't be boring. It doesn't have to be boring. You know, that's the myth. It really is a myth.
Well, it seems
because
like
I think
so
that's
many
what causes conflict.
Yeah, there's so many movies going all the way back. I mean, based on that concept of, and I think that sometimes if you examine those situations in, and I'm just thinking of different, I mean, all kinds of movies I can think of about this
mm-hmm.
topic, where you'll have two very different people thrown together. And the fascinating thing about those films is usually what those people discover is that they had things in common and they weren't really opposites. And so I think that it really, if you really were with someone who was your opposite, that you'd have nothing to communicate about at all. So, like
right.
you say, that's the basis
mm-hmm.
of everything. And the
right.
other thing that you mentioned that I thought is important is when you talk about, a little bit ago you talked about addictions, and the other term that comes to mind is infatuation. Is
mm-hmm.
how does someone know if they're infatuated versus truly interested in someone? How does someone identify an infatuation, and do infatuations ever go deeper into, you know, a true romantic relationship?
That's a really great question. I think maybe a good way to test that is that if you can pin down what it is about that person that is so unique that you find them sort of fascinating, and then write that down or set it aside, and then look at the practical aspects of how you could see your day and your lifestyle with that person on a daily basis and see where those gaps are. And then, of course, if you know this person well enough, you should be able to see how they treat you and how they relate to others and how they treat others. So those would be important questions for me, is what would this look like? If we, for instance, lived together, or if we got married, if you're of an age where you still want children, or you already have some and you would like to have some with another person that would be a more long-term, whatever that part of the issue is, what kind of parent would they be? If you don't want children and they have children, how does that look? So I would be looking at the practicality and the pragmatic part of it, as well as what is about this person that is so fascinating and they're so unique, and set that aside, because I learned this actually through my own experience, and I've watched it with other people. You fall in love with the talent or the uniqueness or the eclectic nature of someone.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, some people are extremely dynamic and extremely talented, and you're admiring the traits in them that in some ways you wish you had. Otherwise, you would think, oh, well, they're like me, and you wouldn't be so fascinated with it because it's already, and maybe you'd like it because you'd be excited about it because it's part of who you are, but because it's not you, you think that it's very special. And maybe someone else is fascinated with you because you have this quiet and sweet and, you know, and more modest kind of energy. And so, you know, it goes both ways. But I believe, here's another phrase that I came up with, and that is, do not be fascinated, be fascinating, if that's what excites you. Because everyone can be more if they want to. Maybe you could be a fantastic artist. Maybe you could be a powerful speaker. Maybe you could be a wonderful craftsperson and handy with mechanical things, or, you know, a writer. I mean, so that's, I just think that that's a false god, you know, in a way, because what it does is it wraps you up around something that is not the actual relationship. It's kind of like admiring someone's fancy suit. And when they take the suit off, they're just a naked body like everybody. And they, how do they relate to you? How do you relate to them? How could you do things together? How could you enjoy a partnership?
Right.
The other aspect that I think is important is, you know, marriage is, and we're not all talking about marriage here, because you can have a meaningful relationship without marriage, in my opinion. But I think the commitment has to come from the people that are being fulfilled on a daily basis by having that other person in their life. Not because they need them, because they are sovereign and they're whole on their own, but because the other person is a joy to be around or complements them in some way, but is not a leg to stand on, is not someone they have to depend on, but is there because it's such a joyful and loving and more powerful life together.
Right. You know, we have a few callers on the line, and as it gets late on the East Coast, I'm always a little conscious of that, because I know we've got listeners all over the place, and it's hard for me to tell from their area, because then I know, what if we start bringing some of those calls on, and then if it quiets down a little later, which sometimes it does as it gets really late, we'll talk some more if we have more things, because I could ask you questions on this for quite a while. It's a
good
idea. A topic to itself. So, and I know we had the one caller who's been waiting very patiently, who came on during the healing session. So, why don't we go ahead and bring the calls on? The first caller, you're at area code 561, and this is the person who did come on earlier. And I promised would be the first one on the romantic portion of the show.
And you could ask their state if you want to, if that would help you sort. But let's go ahead with this one.
Okay, hello, at area code 561. Are you still with us?
Hi, this is Lena from Florida.
Hi, Lena.
Hi. Yes.
What's your question?
Hello.
Hi, I'm really enjoying your show. I'm learning a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to ask you, I broke up with a man a few weeks ago. Relationship started out very intense. And before you know it, we were having a lot of communication problems, just like you were saying. It was like we were speaking a different language with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we broke up a few times, and then 2 weeks ago, you know, we just broke up again, and then now I find him calling me last weekend at 10:30, and then I didn't answer the phone, and then finally I got him on the phone and said, what's going on? What do you want? He said he wants to be friends, and I said, I don't know if I can be friends. It's kind of up in the air right now.
So your question right now is, what do you do? Do you keep riding the roller coaster, or do you find a different way to move your life forward?
I'm just trying to really,
right.
We had a very strong sexual chemistry between us. I don't even know if we would have it anymore at this point.
Well, that's what I was saying. You know, the chemistry is not enough, and it draws you in, it gets you kind of trapped, and then it makes you want to keep coming back even when it doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't even feel good anymore. So, in a nutshell, what I would suggest is that you say, let's assume his name is John, and you just say, John,
John.
Okay. I'm just gonna say, John, you know, this doesn't work for either one of us, and even though we had a strong attraction, I feel that that's not enough, and I need to move on with my life. And you have to be brave enough and honest enough to say that, because otherwise you're going to keep getting stuck in it, and it feels yucky to me.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very going nowhere. And, that is my strong recommendation. And here's one of the ways you can do that. You need to get more active and be out and experience new things and feel the joy of just being you. And grow and improve your own personal life, and then you won't be maybe even allowing this sexual chemistry or whatever the personality or whatever the attraction was to dominate you to that point so easily. Take your time and have a space between this relationship and whatever next one you have. Just give yourself the space to be stronger and more whole and even more interested in other things. You might attract different types of people if you're doing some activities that are unique or that are expanding you. Okay?
I have a lot going on in my life right now, so I really don't need his chaos. And I'm trying, you know, to look for a job and move, and I've got many things.
No, just focus on you. And that'll handle itself. But you have to have the firm boundary, and you have to be able to tell him that, so he won't keep bugging you, because he's going to lure you in again.
Yeah, I know.
If you don't, just say, John, I'm not going to talk to you anymore because it's not going anywhere, and it's nothing, you know, personal. Don't feel offended, but this hasn't been working, and I don't need this in my life, and I want you to be happy, but I'm moving on. You have to be firm.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, then I'm sad to envision what you're going to go through. But it's not my problem. It's yours, okay?
You know what to do.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm looking at some of the calls here. All right. Here we go. Some people are hanging on the line from before, and so I'm just kind of looking through, and then we have a couple people, they may just be calling to listen, but I'm going to double check with them to make sure they don't have questions.
Oh, I'm just
going
to do whatever you ask me to after you find out.
Oh, I'm just looking at the switchboard, and as you know, this is a very spontaneous show when it comes to that, and so...
Yeah, I trust you, just let me know what I should do.
No, I'm going to bring on a couple people and just make sure they don't have questions, because we've got some listeners listening on the line. If you're at area code 901, I'm just going to check with you real quick to see if you're a listener or if you do have a question. So area code 901, I'm just going to talk to you very briefly. Hello, are you at area code 901? Okay, there's no one sitting there. Okay. All right, now we've got someone. Okay, here's someone with a question. Actually, we've got two people that came in really quick. Area code 484. I'm about to bring you on the air. And why don't you tell us your first name and also where you're from.
Hi, my first name is Tiffany, and I'm from Pennsylvania.
Okay,
welcome.
That's East Coast. All right. Hi. What is your question, Tiffany?
This is the first time I found your show, Basically, my question is regarding my love life and regarding a certain gentleman, and I would like to know what you see coming up in the next couple of weeks for me and this man.
Well, I am not doing psychic readings here, but if you're not sure, what is the reason you're not sure?
Well, the communication has been kind of sporadic.
Is he evasive? Is he evasive?
I'm not sure.
So, one of the things that sounds like to me is that this is not a very constant or a very serious relationship, or he keeps you hanging a lot.
Yeah, I guess so, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. So the ball's in your court, basically. You schedule yourself to do things that you enjoy. That's
mm-hmm.
job number one. And if he calls and you feel like spending time with him, because you're not
mm-hmm.
engaged, you're not, you know, in a serious relationship where you can count on him and he hasn't made any
right.
commitments, right? So you go into as much, you know, activity and social things and spend time with your girlfriends, go to movies, go on weekends, whatever you can afford and what you'd like to be doing. And then when he calls, you decide whether you have time or not and whether you want to spend time with him.
Mm-hmm.
But you work on yourself and finding joy every day in your life and not be focused on him, because that gives him way too much power over your happiness. And he
right.
might be a wild card. And some of them don't like things that come too easy, and they don't, you know, they like it when they can take you for granted, but
mm-hmm.
you don't like it. And it really doesn't give a very good foundation for a relationship if it's going to go anywhere. And maybe there's someone out there that is a good communicator. And if you require that, you're going to have it. Because when you give them permission to not communicate and to just take you for granted, it's like you're saying, yes, do this to me. You,
right.
You train people how to treat you. So if you don't say no, it's an implied yes. So,
right. Well, I don't,
you know,
I don't
Daniel
like
or Jeffrey
doing.
Or whatever his name is, and if he's listening, I don't know. But no, I just think that communications is a two-way thing. Relationships require communication. Some people are a little bit, and some of it has to do with how they were brought up or what their personality type is. I get that. But it's part of the responsibility of having someone in your life. And
mm-hmm.
and it, obviously you need that because you're wondering. So step up and say, this is who I am. If you want me to go out with you, you need to call me and let me know and give me some notice, because I'm going to be
mm-hmm.
doing things that I enjoy, and I'm not going to just sit here and wait for you. So see,
right.
you've already answered the question. If you do that and you're going to say, the next 2 weeks are going to be Tiffany enjoying activities and being busy and keeping my life in order, and then if Jeffrey or Danny or whatever his name is calls, then we're going to go do something together if it sounds like something that I would enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to, you know. So that's the answer to your question, is you create what you want in the next 2 weeks. And if he's not part of that, then that's okay.
Right. Well, I didn't know, like I said, if you see, you know, him getting in touch with me anytime soon.
Well, how long has it been?
It's been over a month.
Oh, move on, girl.
I mean, I don't know what's going on with him.
Well, I don't know why you're wondering. Sorry to be so abrupt, but unless you are just totally bored and you don't have anything else to do, I wouldn't be thinking about him.
Yeah,
it's
kind of hard.
How special
can
he be?
I've known him for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're making your own decision here, and I'm not going to tell you what to do. But
okay,
with that answer that you just gave me, what I'm going to tell you about the next 2 weeks is you're going to still be wondering at the end of the 2 weeks, probably.
Right.
So you can choose.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing someone a long time doesn't give them the right to just show up whenever they want. And maybe he doesn't even think about you. How do you know? You know?
I don't know. I don't know what the situation is.
Well, I have to honestly say I don't know either, but I do know what you can create and what you can allow.
Okay.
And you can allow it to continue the way it is, and that would be what the next 2 weeks is.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Right.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
All right.
Good
luck.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.
All right. We have another call at area code 201.
Mm-hmm.
About to bring this call on the air. Hello, at area code. Okay, wait a second. It's taking a sec. Sometimes it hesitates. Hopefully we can bring him on. At area code 201, can you give us your first name and where you're from?
Denise, and I'm from New Jersey.
Welcome.
Hi, Denise.
Hi.
What's
I don't want to... I'm sorry.
What's your question?
No, I don't want to ask. Well, you had said you were, I mean, this is my first time calling, too. I was surfing the web, and I went on Blog Talk, and I think I misconstrued what the service was about tonight, and I
we
just
had
like
two different levels of the program. So if you have a question about relationships, romantic
yes,
type
I did.
Relationships.
I was having a question about relationships, actually, and just,
that's
you know, how do you know when you, because I've been waiting a long time for a mate, or a boyfriend or a husband, and, you know, it's, I just have all these, you know, I don't know. I just, you know, sometimes you wonder if it's in the cards for you, it's in your destiny to be with someone. I mean,
well,
I don't
settle.
Well,
can I answer your question? Now, tell me what you do on a weekly basis as far as your activities. Do you have a job? Do you do a lot of knitting?
Yeah, I have a job, basically. You know, I don't really go out much.
Okay. Well, let me tell you one thing right now. Is that the UPS man does not bring your partner.
Right.
Okay. Now, you can do some things at home. You can meditate. You can write poetry. You can do some things that keep you busy and are creative or that make you feel good. But, you know, the UPS man or the milkman doesn't bring your mate.
Mm-hmm.
And you could get involved with some ads like online dating and stuff like that, and it's going to require some filtering because they're not all who they say they are, and you're going to have to be really self-aware and be a good communicator about what you want and what you don't and be totally transparent.
Mm-hmm.
So that they know also who you are, and that,
mm-hmm.
that can work. I do know people who've found their good relationships, you know, with a, and it's a good way to get acquainted with someone before you get the chemistry going.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's some things you can do, but you can't just sit and wait and.
Well, I've met a couple of people, but they were, you know, well, what they said they were. So you get so discouraged. You know, I've dated and met some people, but, you know, they
don't. How old are you?
I'm in my 40s.
Okay, well, that's not very old. And you can't base your whole life on it, even though that is something that you want in your life.
Oh, dear. Mm-hmm. Sorry, got it. Hold on.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
You can't put your life on hold waiting for that to happen. You have to be in the joy of your life, in the flow of your life, and a whole person living your life. And then you're more likely to find someone. And you're going to have to kiss a few frogs. I mean, most people do. You can't just expect that the first couple or three, and if you get discouraged, then you're already defeating yourself because it's kind of a numbers game in a way. And you do have to kiss a few frogs. And you have to be able to get into that discussion where you know the right questions and the right conversations to let you know whether they are the right person that you want to even continue to the next step with, which might mean another... A session with some coffee and conversation or maybe dinner, or if you like to dance, do they like to dance? If they don't like to dance and you love it and you want someone that loves it, then say, well, it's been nice meeting you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to do that for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Either that or go to a matchmaking service. There are quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, you know, you're cutting the game short by expecting
right.
it in such a framework, and you're also not doing much to make it happen.
Right.
You have to constantly work on yourself. You can't be just like, oh, poor me, I'm lonely and I need someone. You have to be happy as a person, and that will draw someone to you. You never know. You might be, you know, dressed up nicely in a gallery, and you're just a happy person, and you're content, and it shows in your face. And someone says, wow, look at that woman. You know, I have to talk to her. You just never know. Sometimes they find you. But on the other hand, you can't just stay in and feel hopeless and discouraged all the time, because what's that going to do? You know?
Oh, that's true.
Because I can assure you, I'm not your mate. So, you know, you got to be talking to some guys or some other girls or something. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Good luck, honey.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, thank you. Okay. We rarely hear my dog on the phone. She usually lies at my feet very, very quietly.
Mm-hmm.
She's our silent.
Outside.
Oh, no, the doorbell rang,
mm.
Which is really rare this late at night. But anyway,
maybe it was the UPS man.
It kind of was well timed with that now, wasn't it? But, all right, let's see. I'm going to see what else we have here. We're kind of looking through all the calls, because at this time of night it gets a little bit more challenging, because some people are simply just listening
mm-hmm.
on the line, and others are wanting to talk. And I think we're down. We've got one person that I can't really tell if they're listening or want to call in. So we're going to bring them on. And if they don't have anything to say, then you and I will talk some more.
Okay.
So here we are, area code 314. If you're simply listening, that's fine. And if you'd like to talk to us and have a question, feel free to ask. So, hello.
Hi.
At area code 314. Do you have a question, or are you simply a listener?
No. I love the direct responses I've heard already.
Oh, great.
So I'm a listener.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for that feedback.
Great. Well, let's go into some more discussion, which might answer questions that they haven't even thought about, or that they would ask if they, you know, had a chance.
Yeah, and actually, I have a question for you, because
okay.
I know in this time, on this planet, so many people, you know, it's so ironic. I have often pondered this, how the concept of the mail order bride or groom or relationship, essentially, has come back in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
of people meeting all over the world. I mean, I can think of cases where I know someone who moved all the way across the world to Australia from the U.S., for example,
mm-hmm.
in that kind of situation. Now, when people meet online, and sometimes, depending on where they meet, they may not even really know what they look like. It's all based on conversation and assuming that it's an honest discussion.
Mm-hmm.
What advice do you have for people out there who are talking to people online and they don't know what to make of it?
Well, I actually, I think that is a really great question, Susan. And I actually approve, or I shouldn't say approve because it's not my job to decide, but I support the idea of getting to know someone through conversation, because part of my work is all about communicating. And whether it's, you know, chatting online or sending emails or even printed letters, whatever it may be, to get to know the person first before you know whether there's chemistry. Because I believe when people love who the other person is, their bodies will respond. And if it's not that immediate fire, that, you know, explosion of passion, it's not a problem, because that can be built. And it can be even more strong because it has a more solid foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And it really makes more sense, because you already know the logistics and the pragmatics of what it would be like to be with that person, how they express themselves, how they respect you, how they you know, communicate in general and some of their likes and dislikes. And I actually believe that it's more rational to do it that way. I think people fall in love with the image of someone, and they're so superficial because they say, oh, my God, I can't believe how handsome he is, mm-hmm. and his body is so perfect, and and so they put up with a lot of stuff that is not honoring them, and it's not really building a very good relationship because of how, and the men do the same thing. They're even worse, you know.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's
because they get
truth.
All caught up in the aesthetics
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, the
and,
physical.
And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I think it's a great way. Now, one of the things that happens when it's different cultures is, and it depends a lot on how ingrained the person is in the culture, but that can be one of those challenges if there's extreme differences in the cultures and each person is very much extreme in their culture. Then it can be difficult combining those and making it work. But if the people are not rigid, then they can blend the cultures and it can be beautiful and expansive for everyone, including the peripheral family of both people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the global aspect of our humanity is like magic. And I am a spiritual warrior, the way we spoke earlier. And so I see how the empirical, you know, like Britain, you know, they occupied India. They were, you know, they've been basically occupying and trying to conquer everything for a long time. They're just as bad as Caesar was. But what happens, and the U.S. is quite, you know, the partner for that, and that's a whole other conversation. Like when we talk about spiritual warrior stuff and you decide that that's going to be a topic for a future show, then some people are going to learn some things that they had no
mm-hmm.
idea, and they're probably going to wonder why they've been so blind and obedient all these years. But at any rate, what has happened with the globalization of the big global corporations and the militarization and the going in and taking control of the resources of other countries and all of that is it in a way it has backfired against the big money and the big, you know, monster, the war machine and all of that. Because what happens is humans are involved. And so humans meet other humans when they're in another country. And some of them are not mercenary in the way they think, and they're not there just to kill the environment and build factories and steal other people's oil and all of that. And so they meet other humans. And so people start relating to each other on that level instead of thinking about them as being this nationality or that nationality. And so there's more bonding and more connecting between different nations on the people level. And, of course, on the government level as well. But those people, let's face it, are not part of making a better world, but the people are. And we can take that, and we can go with that. And so that's the beauty. It's almost like backfiring on them because we're finding unity with the people that meet each other on the soul level and on the human level, and we're forming alliances, and we're forming relationships, and we're forming even romantic relationships with people from a different culture, and I love it. I call it the rainbow family.
You know, it's an amazing thing, really, that in this world now, it used to be you'd have to live near someone to meet, to find them. And nowadays, it doesn't matter where you live.
Right.
Hey, I've got Jay is still on the line. And Jay is a regular listener and caller to this show. And he just wrote to me in the chat. And he's asking if he can ask another question on this second topic. Which normally
we
bring
with him.
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
and so since he's real interested in asking a question, so I'm going to bring Jay on the line here. Nice to get the male perspective as well on
I
all of this.
I agree. Totally.
Hello.
I agree.
Whoops, wrong one.
Hi, Jay.
I lost him. Here, I got him now.
Okay.
I have to keep track of the names here. Hello, Jay. You're on the line, I think. Are you there?
Well, thanks so much. Thanks, Susan. Thanks.
Welcome
no problem.
Back.
What's your question, Jay?
Yeah, my question is that I find that the energies are are shifting very, very quickly on this earth right now for both the male and female and everything else on this earth. And I just wondered, how is it shifting the way actually connect with each other now. I just find that, you know, technology is a great way to do it, but I'm finding how we actually connecting on a soul basis, heart-to-heart basis. And I just find also that my comment also is that I find that people are actually moving away from each other too, from long relationships that they just don't work out anymore. And I just wonder what your perspective on those, what I just said.
Well, I agree. I think you have you know, some good observations. On one hand, people are leaving things that no longer work, but on another hand, they are opening up to new connections and finding their kindred level, their kindred spirits and their, you know, extended families through the global network. And, you know, I know people from all over the world who are part of a meditation group, you know, and so I know them through the chat rooms and through the emails, and I've not been in the same room with them, but I know them, and I love that. Now, as far as the romantic relationship, I remember back in the 80s, people were doing these personal ads in, like, the LA Weekly, and a lot of the criteria said something like GU. So that means geographically undesirable, which means if you're living in the valley and I'm down in the South Bay, then don't bother because I don't want to commute. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know if this, you know, answers some of your question, but I agree with it, with what you said, Jay, that there's a shift, and some of it has to do with how the male and female energy within all of us is being balanced, because we all have both. You know, and some men are more male dominated in terms of their balance, and they have only a small amount of the feminine energy, and some women have a lot of the male and not much feminine, and they also, some of the women have a lot of feminine energy and not much male energy. So I think that part of our consciousness is being more made more aware, and I think people are starting to realize that they're not just one thing, and that there's a variety of different ways that this shows up in other people. And then just along another discussion, unless you have another part of your question?
I just find it's really shifting relationships. Really, really, because when people are becoming more spiritual on one side or
mm-hmm.
part of the relationship, it really shifts the relationship dynamics really considerably.
It does. And that affects the whole community and their families and everything. And so the way a person develops on their own and becomes more empowered, which includes the balance of the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical, is going to move them into different directions so that they're more attracted to people that are whole like themselves or moving toward wholeness versus being in that pattern that they left behind with their former self. So they're no longer willing to be with that person that they met in high school or that has not grown in the same direction that they're going. And so I think it definitely changes that person and their relationships, but it's going on beyond one or two people. It's really widespread. It's a pattern that's going on. It's almost like the 100th monkey, you know, principle. And so with every person and every couple that becomes more conscious, then each community becomes more conscious, and it just keeps growing, and the nations and the, you know, and the global energy changes because of it. Relationships are a huge part of how our society is evolving.
Okay.
And so some of it is happening. The things that I was discussing earlier about how things need to be, you know, like the ones who keep thinking, you know, why is this person not, you know, doing this or doing that or calling more often or whatever. Those are the types of things that people need to get past so that they can become more empowered, and then they're going to find something even better than what they thought they wanted.
Mm, true. That's so true.
Okay. So, Susan, did you have some more questions? Thank you.
Well, we're actually, thank you, Jay. We're actually winding
down
now. And so I'm going to go ahead and remind people of your website because we're down to the last couple minutes. Although this show, it does this, Blog Talk Radio has this nice thing where it'll go into overtime and people listening on the phones can still hear it, and it gives us a chance to wrap it up in the archive, where we will get a lot of listeners to this show in the future. That's not unusual that people come in and they see the show, they can download it as a podcast. And I want to encourage anyone who has come in late to go ahead and check out the show in the archive once it's over with, because especially at the beginning of the show, Joy Ray had a lot of really interesting things to share about her background and how she came to the path. So just want to say that to those of you listening. And
okay.
Your website, just to remind people who are listening online, is www.joy2u.org. And it is on the show page, so people can click on that if they want to go directly to your site.
And there's links on that site to all the other ones.
That's right. And I know that you have several sites, actually. And all people need to do is go. Yeah, I know. I'm quite impressed with all the websites you have.
And I built it myself.
Yeah, that's that. You know, I'm doing the same thing. It's fun that way, isn't it?
It's very fun to be the creator
of these sites. It takes a lot of time, and we're multitasking a lot, but it is enjoyable. So anyway, there are a wealth of resources available that people can reach through your show page. And I just want to give you the opportunity to wrap up the evening here. If there's anything else that you'd like to leave our audience with on both of these topics, or just any final words you'd like to say.
Well, I would like to thank everyone for listening, and also just for stepping up and reaching towards something more than what they had yesterday or last year, because it is an exciting time. And the more that you are open to possibilities, the more magic you can expect in your life. Be comfortable and be courageous enough to leave things that don't work behind. Don't worry about what you don't keep, because your bucket will be filled with wonder if you are just allowing it. So just please do your part to unfold to the majesty of who you really are.
You know, that I really thank you for that, because coming into this show, as I said, I had really the last couple weeks a time of truly exactly that, where, you know, you really start to think about what is it that's in alignment with your authentic self, not the work that maybe others are imposing on you and saying you should do, or based on some illusion. Sometimes we have illusions about ourselves as to as to who we are and what we're supposed to be doing.
We're the biggest one that does it to us.
But that's the truth. But, yeah, it's not just sometimes. And so if we can only get in alignment with our authenticity, and I appreciate what you had to say about just accepting that guidance that is out there, accepting and being open to finding that true path so that, that you can be happy.
Yeah, and I want to thank you too, Susan, because it's people like you who do take, you know, the time and do the work to put a show together that allows some of us to have a voice. And so I want to thank you for that.
And I want to wish
everyone blessings and good night, as it's getting late here too.
It is late. It is late for everyone. And I will say much the same. And thank you so much, Joy Ray, for coming on the show. And just want to let my listeners know that the show will be back at its Friday time, 11 a.m. Friday. I've got a children's author and spiritual teacher named Gail McCain who'll be on at 11 a.m. next Friday. So I welcome people back then, and be on the lookout for more Saturday night specials. And hopefully at some point we'll get to talk to Joy Ray again, because I did appreciate all you had to share, and there's a great depth there. So
thank you.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. Have a very restful, peaceful night. Thank you.